Hi guys, this is Jason from Nathaniel School of Music, and in this lesson I'm going to give you guys a few exercises on the piano in order to develop your groove and how to build it, and also how to get a solid groove and be able to sort of control the rhythm section of your band. A lot about keyboard players generally is we tend to follow the singer or the drummer and other such musicians, but it's also very important for us to have our own sense of time, and by that I mean natural sense of time, a time in the sense your body has to really feel it, and that has to be devoid of the metronome. So I'll be giving you a few techniques to develop that, and also by building groove on an instrument like the piano, since it's a two-handed instrument, we will also be developing independence. So independence of the hands is something which most of us tend to struggle with. However, that can easily be sorted out when you have practiced your parts well, and when you can count well, and when you can feel time. Right, the phrase feel time is really, really crucial here. It's not about knowing time, it's about feeling it. And it starts, yes, by a little bit of knowledge, but after a while your body has to react, it has to feel it, and it has to be pretty much like how a dancer goes about their business, right? Dance is also very, very rhythm driven. Music, dance would not happen if it was not for music, right? So just like a dancer is effortlessly able to feel the rhythm of the song, you should too, even with the most complicated passages. So for this exercise, I've chosen four chords. So the chords are B major, B, D sharp, F sharp, E minor, then D major, which is D, F sharp, A, G major. And as you can see, I'm playing it with inversions. So it's a sort of unconventional chord progression. I sort of chose it deliberately because the rhythm pattern I want to teach you tends to have a little bit of a Latin vibe. So I think these chords go quite well for that, right? It's not that happy. Okay, so you go 2, 3, 4, E minor, 3, 4, D, 2, 3, 4, G, 2, 3, 4. So what I would suggest, if you're not able to shift the chords well, first try and give yourself 4 counts each, and then try to move, be very flexible between the 4 chords. B major, 2, 3, 4, E minor, 2, 3, 4, D, 2, 4, G, 2, 3, 4, right? And now coming to the rhythm pattern. So whenever we feel time, and whenever music grooves, right? Whenever people dance, and whenever something makes you want to, you know, move your body, we generally divide the beat. We generally cannot make people dance if we don't divide the beat. If you do things like 1, 2, 3, 4, music like that may not make the audience move. So the basic principle is to divide the beat more. So if you divide by 2, we say 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2, and that means you're dividing the pulse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and so you could have the option to play 2 notes or 2 chords or 2 strikes for every pulse. The other way to divide the beat is to divide by 4, or you can divide by 3, or you can divide by pretty much anything. So in this exercise, I've chosen a division of 4, which is a very popular division system called the 16th note system. So the way we count 16th notes are 1 E and a 2 E and a 3 E and a 4 E and a 1 E and a 2 E and a 3. So it's easy on the tongue, 1 E and a, right? It's easy to say, so that probably makes it easier to relate to. And amidst counting this, what will then happen is you need to strike your instrument at any of those 16 beats. 1 E and a gives you 4, 2e and gives you another 4. So 4 fours are 16 in a 4 beat per bar kind of time system, right? However, when we play notes on the keyboard or any instrument, if we were to play all the 16, the groove is really not there. So when we divide, the principle which I tend to follow is always divide more and then play less. So in other words, divide by 4, you have yourself 16 options, but then play less. Don't play all the 16, right? There's nothing wrong with playing all the 16, but you're not going to make the groove really cut through, right? So the basic principle is if you have 16 16th notes, you can play at the same speed, but try to cut out a few. For example, that actually sounds quite popular, right? I think that's the same groove used in Shape of You and a few of those other dance songs. Anyway, so what I did just now was basically hit at the 1, 1E and a 2E and a. So I, out of an available 8 beats, till I hit the a of the 2, I ended up just striking 3 hits. 1E. And then I repeated it. 3, the A of the 3, and the and of the 4. 1 E and a, 2 E and a, 3 E and a, 4 E. And then you can play your chords accordingly. So for this lesson, I've chosen a very, 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 very cool 16th note groove. At least I found it very cool. And it'll be on the screen, so you can follow it as you go along. And basically where I've ticked is, if you take 1E and a as one beat, I have given you the hits or the accents at the 1 and the and. So 1E and a, 2E and a, right? Now then if you look over to beat number 2, which goes 2E and a, I have chosen the E of the 2 and the A of the 2. So that'll be 2E and a, 2E and a. Right, so if we put beat 1 and beat 2 together, try clapping it with me. 1E and a, 2E and a. One more time. 1E and a, 2E. So, oops, sorry. 1E and 1E and a, 2E and a. 1E and a, 2E and a. So try to get that groove felt by yourself. Dung, 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 dung. Right, so that's your 1E, the 1, the and of the 1, the E of the 2 and the A of the 2. And then when it comes to the beat number 3, we do the E of the 3, 3E and A, and we flip it around, 3E and A, 4 and 3E, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3E and A, 4E and so on and so forth. So we put the whole thing together. 1E and a, 2E and a, 3E and a, 4E and a. Tung, 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 ta-dung, tung. So if I take that with the chord now and play B major with that. E and a, 2E and a, 3E and a, 4E and a, change E minor. That's the D chord, 4E and a, E and dun, 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 dun. Right? And it's important to also feel the pulse while you play. So maybe one hand initially could just try and count the pulse, maybe here. E and a, 2E and a. So I would suggest to maybe pause the video and just spend some time practicing this rhythm a little more. And after you practice it, maybe by clapping or by tapping your leg or here or someone else's head, anyone, anything, any object for that matter. Once you get used to it, then you come to the keyboard and then start playing. Try to avoid the piano unless you're able to tap it with your body, right? So once you're done with that, we'll then move on to the next part. Right. So now that you're confident with clapping the rhythm and also perhaps playing it in at least the right hand, as follows: 1 E and a 2 E and a 3 E and E minor. I'm basically playing all the four chords. D major. Right? So that's what you need to be able to do before we move on. So the first stage, or the first independence exercise, if you will, on the piano is try to divide these hits among the two hands. That's a very, very basic and a very, very fundamental thing which percussionists do. You try to manage your frequencies. The low frequency shouldn't be overwhacked, and similarly, the high frequency shouldn't be overwhacked. It's the same reason why a drummer will always complement the kick drum with the snare drum and not play them both at the same time. The thought of it is very ridiculous, right? So let's look at the new pattern now on the screen, which I've written down as K and S. So K essentially means a kick, or what I'm imagining as the kick, and you can play the kick with your left hand since it's a low sound, playing the root of the chord. And the snare could be playing the chord, right? But the rhythm is actually, right? But I need to split it across my hands. So what I've written down there for you guys to practice is kick, snare, kick, snare. So that's left, right. Okay? And while you do this, you really need to be counting and you need to have the pulse. So what I try to do is always tap the pulse with my foot. In this case, you can hear my foot with a little tambourine attached to it. So while you're doing this, feel all the subbeats. 1E and a 2E and a slow it down if you wish. 1E and a 2E and a 3E and a 4E and a 1E and a 2E. And now try playing. Kick, snare. 1E and a 2E and a 3E and a 4E and a. Right, let's slow that down. E minor. D major, G, right. So the pattern I've written was sort of my own pattern: kick, snare, kick, snare, snare, kick, snare, snare, but keeping the same accents. You guys could also mess it around and try to create your own for yourself. So I'd encourage you to change it around different combinations with your hand. And the problem I found when people try this syncopation of two hands is we tend to lose the pulse. So with whatever you do, do not lose the pulse. That's why I showed it with my leg doing the pulse, and it is very, very important. If you're not feeling the pulse, you're definitely not going to be able to lead the band with time. And also, recording in a studio environment starts becoming tricky because of the need of a metronome. You have to use a metronome for a studio recording, right? So you go. Left. One more time. right? So that's one variation you guys can try out. Doesn't really have a lot of independence. You could say more syncopation, coordination, if you will, between the two hands. And the second pattern is also very, very similar, very rudimentary as well. It's something you may have already done. But the second idea or the second way of playing this progression or this pattern on the piano is where both hands play the pattern together. So it's identical hits. Let's try that as well. Essentially, both the hands going down together. It's a skill which is not practiced enough. A lot of students like to get the hands going differently. That's always a lot of fun. But you need to start with it doing the same thing, especially with rather challenging 16th note patterns like this, right? So make sure you try that as well. Both hands playing the pattern together with counting. Counting is extremely important. Either count with your mouth saying 1, 2, 3, 4. If that is tough for you, always keep the leg going, right? So the piano's the lifeline for playing piano is always your leg doing the pulse. So make sure you guys follow that. And perhaps pick up a foot tambourine as well and try to hear what you're doing, or maybe do it with a shoe. Right. So moving on, the next pattern is also something very, very important for pianists, wherein you do the exact same thing in the right hand. The same pattern in the right hand, and try and now implement the pulse in the left hand. The first thing I like to do is snap the pulse. Get your body familiar with it. Another thing I try to do is hit it here. It's quite a nice bass sound, which I like. You can also do the pulse with your leg. So basically, pulse, pulse, pulse. Focus on the pulse and get this hand to slowly do what your leg did in the earlier exercise. Make sure the left hand is always holding the pulse. So once you do that, execute it on the piano. And don't look at it as the left hand has to play this beat with respect to the right hand or vice versa. Try to feel both of them completely separately, or try to do it subconsciously, right? After a while, you guys are going to nail the right hand. So slowly but surely, your brain is losing focus or losing its consciousness on that right hand. It's focusing on something else, right? So that focus could be now shifted to the pulse in the left hand. So 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, start. E minor. You struggle on the piano, if you're not able to get the pulse exactly, take your hand away from the piano and try to maybe whack the surface, go back to snapping or tapping your chest or any other such thing, right? Try to feel it, and snapping it can really help. Tapping your chest or maybe just hitting the side of the piano where it doesn't make a melodious noise. And try playing it at a speed which you can control. Control meaning what you're looking for is to play it more and more and more. If you had a 4-minute song, and if you had to do this in the 4-minute song, you should not really be making any mistakes during that entire 4-minute passage, right? So let me just demonstrate left hand playing the pulse while the right hand plays the pattern again. Thank you. And if your left hand is getting quite simple and easy, you can try toggling between the root and the octave with the same pulse. So, okay, so that's, you get a nice pitch variant here. You have the root and you have the octave. So you're still playing the pulse, but the left hand's a lot more exciting. It's slowly getting to be something like a bass guitar, something like what a bass guitar would do. And last but not least, in the left hand, another variation you could try would be the root, the fifth, and the third played one octave higher, because if you play it lower, it's going to sound very muddy. So root, fifth, and third. This is basically spread voicing of that chord. If you haven't, if you're not aware of this sort of voicing, do head over to one of our other lessons where I've talked about spread voicing and closed voicing in detail. Okay, so let's do this now on the pulse. So essentially you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Sounds really simple, right? But when you do it with the right hand, things start grooving very, very quickly. And I really like that idea about groove. You're always trying to do something very fancy and very, very signature-like in one hand, while the other hand supports the hand which is doing all the cool stuff. So that's generally the principle behind grooving. You don't want to do crazy things with all your limbs. And even if you wanted to, it'll be really tough. So the whole principle about groove is to, with some limb of yours, to try and do what the audience is inherently going to do if they like your song. They are going to clap, they are going to move to the pulse, they are going to tap their feet, snap their fingers and whatnot. So it's good if you are doing the pulse as well. So the audience will appreciate what you're doing even more, and the bond between you and the audience will be a lot stronger. So moving on. Another variation you could try in the left hand, the same as how we did the pulse, is the double pulse. So the double pulse is where you can do eighth notes, where the beat gets divided by two, while the right hand plays exactly the same pattern. So you go, what was once is now going to become double in only the left hand. The right hand is not changed thus far. Slightly busy, right? And if you feel this is a bit too thick, you can toggle between the root with the pinky and the octave with the thumb. With spread thirds, as I taught earlier with the pulse. Right. So the last thing I wanted to talk about, which could be the start of other crazy things you guys try on your own, would be basically do another pattern in the other hand while the right hand plays the same thing you've just been dealing with all through this tutorial. And the other rhythm will be something other than the pulse, other than something consistent, like one and regular repetitive things. So one thing which I'd like you to try is the salsa rhythm, where you hit the on of the one, then the of the one, and then the and of the two. one E and a two E and one E. And repeat that between 3 and 4. We've written the pattern down on the screen, so do watch that as well. So this is the groove. And I've chosen to play spread triads, or I could do, all together, or so once you get a hang of that, try to go back to this. And then you can do it with spread voicing. If you remember the introduction video which you would have heard at the start of the lesson, that's pretty much what I was doing. I was doing the salsa pattern in the left hand, used with a lot of popular songs, and the right hand plays the same old pattern which we've written down, right? So that's pretty much the five exercises which I want you guys to do. Left and right hand share accents. Number one, both hands play together, right? Don't take that for granted. Number two, then left hand plays pulse while right hand plays pattern. Number three, left hand plays eighth note pulse while the right hand plays the same old pattern, number four. And then number five, left hand plays an interesting salsa pattern while the right hand plays the same old pattern, right? The pattern I chose for you guys is just a cool pattern I like playing. So it's not pattern dependent. You can develop your groove and your independence with any pattern, but it's good to start with something specific. So try to do the one which is in the lesson before you explore other things. Okay. So in conclusion, I just want to talk to you guys about a few points while feeling the groove and what you need to do with your mind and body while doing whatever we just did. As I've been repeatedly saying in the lesson, you always need to have the pulse running. The pulse can be running with either your mind counting inside, or with your foot, or with another hand. Very, very important to have the pulse. And another thing, while playing the music, which we tend to take for granted, is always try to breathe normally and try to relax when you're playing. Try to focus on the music which is going on, and ultimately you need to enjoy your own music. So you need to be chilled out to a point where you are not really thinking about how tough it is. You're enjoying what you're playing. And as good as it sounds, enjoying what you're playing, the path towards that is not easy. You'll have to work it out. You'll have to practice. You'll have to play. You'll have to play and play and play, right? But there will come a point when you have that confidence, where you, especially when your breathing is very, very controlled and you're very, very relaxed about what you're doing, right? What you're playing is a piece of cake. You're enjoying your own music. And another way I always try to feel the groove when I practice is to imagine a ghost next to me, and that ghost is playing drums. If you have a real drummer, well and good, but that may not happen all the time, right? So whenever you play your instrument, especially when you play it rhythmically, you need to have a drummer beside you. By drummer, it could be a tabla player, it could be a darbuka player, a djembe player, or whatever. Any kind of drummer next to you, and imagine what they are doing, right? Then you have a context on which you're playing what you're playing. And another thing I like to do to feel the groove is spend some time away from your instrument. You don't need to always try to execute the thing on the piano or the guitar or whatever instrument you play. Try to imagine what you're doing away from your instrument and practice away. You can do it in the shower. You can just tap yourself and try to recreate it later on the piano, or do it when you're absolutely jobless, maybe in a car, a cab, or waiting for a flight or some such thing. But definitely it is important to practice away from your instrument. You are practicing piano when you're not playing piano, right? It's very important to know that. And once you start using this with your bandmates, and once you put it into a song, you need to start distancing yourself away from your instrument. You need to start focusing on the rest of your band, because ultimately you need to make a song which people love, and you have to love what you make. So the more focused you are on the instrument, the less you're going to enjoy yourself, and that enjoyment is the most important thing for me, right? Whatever you do before you go on stage and when you play this thing, you have to really love it and feel very, very confident and very relaxed and or energetic. You really want to do it and you're not scared. So that again requires practice. And there are a lot of myths which people, you know, take around, saying, you know, nail it, master it with the metronome, with that thing which makes that funny noise. But I mean, there is nothing wrong with the metronome. Don't get me wrong. It's a very important thing. But for you to feel the groove, I really think you need to start without the metronome. Let your body be the metronome. Let your mind be the metronome. And then when you actually use a real metronome, you'll realize that it's an absolute walk in the park, right? So try to, don't spend too much time on the metronome. Yes, it's a good tool for us to be focused. I definitely understand that, but you need to also enjoy what you're doing. There's a bigger picture as well, right? It's the band you're playing with, the song, the groove, and just having a good time overall. And the metronome doesn't, I don't think it gives you a good time all the time, right? So anyway, so I hope you found the lesson useful. If you did, please share it around with all your musician friends. And what else can you do? You can give us a thumbs up, like, all those things, and also perhaps you can hit the bell icon. There's a bell icon for further notifications, so whenever we release a new video, if you want to stay in the loop, you'll get all the updates, right? Cheers.